Cinquegrani v. Sandell Avionics. Good morning, Mr. Jones.
My name is Mr. Mitchell Jones. I represent the plaintiffs. Your Honor, this matter comes before you on the entry of an order by district court granting defendant's motion to dismiss as a matter of law and denial of plaintiff's motion for reconsideration. This matter is plaintiff brought an action under the Magnuson-Morse Act as he is an owner of a single-engine, propeller-driven plane that seats a maximum of 4 persons. The only issue before the court is the determination of whether a consumer product is a question of law or fact. District Court...
Counsel, I don't understand at this point why it matters whether the airplane was a consumer product, since the maker of the airplane is no longer in the case. He's been dismissed. I should think the question we need to resolve is whether the avionics are consumer products, because the only defendants are avionics makers.
Well, that is true, Your Honor. All of these parts come together and make up the plane that you cannot...
Well, unfortunately, however, from your perspective, Sandell did not sell your client a plane.
But issue...
And we've got the warranty in the record. It was, in fact, attached to your complaint, and it's perfectly clear that this warranty does not warrant the plane or any part, warrants the avionics.
Correct, Your Honor, but...
So why do we have to determine whether the avionics are consumer products?
Because the avionics, while there's a separate warranty by Sandell that goes to the plaintiff, the avionic itself is include...
Yeah, look, maybe I'm still not being sufficiently clear. The person who sold your client the plane is no longer a litigant. The question under the Magnuson-Moss Act is not whether a product is included in some other consumer product. It is whether something is a consumer product. And it's very easy to imagine how avionics could be included in a consumer product, but not themselves consumer products. Suppose 90% of these gauges go to military jets, and 10% of them go to this kind of product.
Well, Your Honor...
Under the Magnuson-Moss Act, they are not consumer products.
That is correct, Your Honor.
So
and we agree,
I repeat my question. Isn't
we
this
agree
what we need?
With your analysis.
Counsel, only one of us can talk.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
I repeat my question. Why don't we have to go directly to this question whether they are consumer products?
Well, that goes to the very heart of my argument. The district court never gave us a chance to prove up what is normally used as a class. We didn't have a chance to prove up whether those avionics were normally used as a consumer product.
That I understand. If what you're asking for is a remand so that there can be an inquiry into the nature of the avionics, that's fine. But I read your reply brief to say, we don't give a fig about that. We want a remand to discuss whether the plane is a consumer product. And
well,
that's the reason I'm asking this question.
Well, Your Honor, that's purely procedural. At the time the briefs were filed, Mooney was a litigant in this case. Subsequent to that,
but at the time the briefs were filed, it was not. And your briefs just proceed as if it were the defendant. So what is it you want, concretely?
Concretely, we wish to have a remand to prove up before the district court whether the avionics or any other part of the airplane is normally...
Well, not any other part of the airplane. The parts warranted by the defendants.
The parts warranted by the defendants are consumer products under the Magnuson-Morse Act. We did not have the opportunity in the district court. The legislative intent of the act is clear that it should be broadly construed. Now, we never had the opportunity to formulate, to establish a record. It was decided as a matter of law that this airplane, and at that point, the defendant Mooney was a defendant, and it was decided that that airplane is a matter of law, which includes the avionics.
Well, I suppose that the district judge was in error in not having a fact determination, not 12B6ing it, but at least going to summary judgment on whether the plane to sort of an add-on to Judge Easterbrook's inquiry, was, you know, in a consumer product. But that's when we had the plane. Now we've got a fraction of, or a component of the plane. Doesn't that alter where we're at?
Well, it would alter...
Unless you want to have a contested fact-finding on whether the avionics can be considered under the Act the plane. What is the product?
The product of the avionics, at this point, that is the only thing left for the defendant.
Right.
However, there was never, again, there was never any factual determination made. It could very well be the avionics are not consumer products, or they very well could be consumer products. The legislative intent shows it should be broadly construed.
Agreed. But would you be here making this argument, Mr. Jones, if we were talking about the clock that was in the dash of the plane?
Well, Your Honor, a clock is usually determined to be a consumer product. It depends how the use is normally put in the class. If it's put in an airplane, it very well may not be a consumer product. A clock on your wall in the house is a consumer product. So the question is, what is a consumer product? How is it normally used as a class?
If you were to go back on a remand, would your argument be everything that goes into a plane, that you, if you still had the plane, you would certainly be arguing is now in 2006 a consumer product, and that could be a very well strong argument.
Well, it very well may be, Your Honor. It depends on the part. We have specifically...
So if it's an essential part of what you would hope to prove it to be a consumer item, then that makes it under the Act? Would that be the argument?
Well, Your Honor, at one point in this case, you had an airplane, just like you have a car.
But we seem not to have it now. Let's say we have just a propeller. Would you be here arguing with the propeller? We have a consumer product.
Well, the question, Your Honor, is what is the propeller attached to? Is it attached to a jumbo jet, which is obviously not a consumer product, or is it attached to...
747s don't have propellers.
Not anymore. They used to have
propellers. They never had propellers.
Excuse me, not 747s, but military cargo jets. Some of them have propellers. Or is it attached to a single engine plane like this? It's a question. The use, we never had the opportunity to determine the class use and normal class use of a product. It was determined as a matter of law that it doesn't come under Magnuson-Moss.
When Magnuson-Moss was envisioned, you're suggesting that every component of any consumer product would be sufficient to get the discussion of whether it is a consumer product.
I don't think it was ever considered. The legislative history doesn't explain it. There are some law review articles that go into that, but there are no specific legislative. This was an act that was passed in the 70s. Things have changed. Technology has changed.
No question. I think this could be a very strong argument for a remand if we had the plane, because private use of aircraft today, from the 70s, the last 30 years, is pretty dramatic change. But when we've shrunk it to an essential, but
well,
part of
Your
the plane,
Honor, the avionics are separately warranted.
Yes, I understand.
And there's a separate warranty, and the warranty has to be tested under Magnuson-Moss, and that is the issue. There was a warranty on the airplane. Obviously, our airplane doesn't exist anymore. I don't think if we're talking about the strut on the wings, that's part of the airplane. That's not separately warranted. That was a plane. The plane's not here. But the avionics were separately warranted, and the warranty is supposed to be tested under Magnuson-Moss. The question is
a warranty on the upholstery of the seats. Would your argument be the same? I don't want to make it a ridiculous.
I don't know, Your Honor. I really couldn't tell you that. The question here is there's a lot of money at stake. There's a warranty issue, and the question is, under the law, under Magnuson Morris, we're allowed to test whether that is normally a consumer product, and we never had the opportunity.
I want to save a few seconds for a rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, thank you, Mr. Jones. Ms. Campbell.
May it please the Court, I represent Appalee Sandell Avionics. At council table is Betsy Kiley, who represents Honeywell. I'll present argument for both Appalees. I agree that we should look at the avionics equipment. And
so why did your brief devote almost all of its attention to the question whether an airplane is a consumer product? Since we all now apparently agree that this is completely irrelevant.
Well, the brief did two things. It responded to the appellant's brief, which, as you pointed out, focused entirely on the airplane, and it responded to the focus.
Right. Well, what do we know about where Sandell's avionics of the kind used in this plane are used? Is it 90% in military jets and 10% in general aircraft, or is it something different? What do we know?
Well, in the appellate court, we know it's in the record, and the record lacks any...
The record is, of course, silent. This is a 12B6 case.
Correct. But I would say that we don't need to get to that inquiry.
Is there anything of which we could take judicial notice that would tell us how it's used?
There is nothing in the record to give us judicial notice about how this particular...
If there's nothing we can take judicial notice of, then under the 12B6 standard, there is nothing to do but reverse and remand.
But that's
because the plaintiff gets the benefit of every fact that could be imagined consistent with the complaint. And I can imagine without any difficulty facts that would make these avionics consumer products.
But that's where I would disagree with the court. The fact that there's no factual record or allegations about these particular avionics, pieces of avionics equipment, I don't think that that is the dispositive factor because...
Well, you disagree with me that that's the legal standard? Legal standard is, at 12B6 stage, the plaintiff gets the benefit of every fact that can be imagined consistent with the complaint.
There's nothing
in the complaint by which the plaintiff pleads himself out of court.
I don't disagree at all with the legal standard that you're pronouncing. What I take issue with is a concept that we need further facts or allegations about the specifications of these particular pieces of avionics equipment. And if I could explain why, I think you'll understand my logic here. And that is because it is our position that an aircraft and its component parts, whatever they may be, and however warranted, are, as a matter of law, not consumer products. And now I would point to the court, for example, something you can...
How can that possibly be? Suppose the airplane comes with a clock, to use the Chief Judge's example, and the clock is separately warranted to the purchaser, right? A direct warrant, warranty from Timex. I mean, it seems to me very likely that clocks are consumer products. They're certainly consumer products when they're included in automobiles. The Timex this is a Casio that I've got on my wrist, is a consumer product, though I must say it doesn't meet the jurisdictional minimum of the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act. So if you put it in an airplane, it's still a clock, one would think.
Well, for one thing, the automobile example is a different issue, of course, because automobiles are consumer products. But I would say that once a product which is intended for use in an airplane and it's incorporated into the airplane itself, as a matter of law, it becomes part of the aircraft and its component parts. And that's where
That's not how your warranty is written.
Well, we only warrant that part.
Exactly. But warranty is written on the supposition that the part is a part and it's not the aircraft.
But could I point to the court, for example, if you look to the Consumer Product Safety Act, and I'll give you the precise cite. It's 15 U.S.C. 2052, subsection A1F. It excludes aircraft, engines, propellers, or appliances from the Consumer Product Safety Act's definition of a consumer product.
It would be helpful to you if the Magnuson-Moss Act contained such an exclusion, but it doesn't. And my inclination is to say, all you've done is show me Congress knows how to exclude airplane parts if it wants, and in the Magnuson-Moss Act, it didn't.
That's true. On the other hand, though, other courts have looked to the Consumer Product Safety Act because it is universally recognized as providing a far broader definition of consumer products. And courts have interpreted Congress's specific exclusion of aircraft engines and parts from...
It's very easy to write a statute which says a consumer product for purposes of this statute is a consumer product defined for purposes of the Consumer Product Safety Act. But that's not what the Magnuson-Moss Act says. It's got its own definition. It seems to me we have to apply its own definition rather than some other act's definition.
We do have to apply its definition, but we can look for guidance from other statutes. We can also look for guidance from the drafters of the Magnuson-Moss Act, the FTC interpretive guidelines, and the Code of Federal Regulations, all of which talk about that small aircraft are not to be included in the definition of a consumer product because Congress did not intend the Magnuson-Moss Act to cover it.
Well, now that takes me back to when they did, you know, as far as intention. I mean, is there not a question today whether a plane... These small planes are possibly consumer products. Is that a fact issue that we could have testimony taken in a district?
I don't think there is a fact question. If you're asking, is there some particular make or model of airplane that consumers use more often than a corporation uses for commercial aviation, that might be true. But I don't think we should look into that inquiry for this reason. If you look at the Code of Federal Regulations, they give an example that there are products such as typewriters and automobiles. They use those two examples that are typically used as consumer products, but there are certain makes or models or types of typewriters or automobiles that can be used for commercial uses. But the court is not required to inquire into the facts of that particular make or model or specification of typewriter. Instead, what the legislature has told us is that you look at that entire category.
Counsel, I'm now completely lost. That's like saying that we need to decide whether all vehicles are consumer products. You then point out that military tanks are not widely used by consumers, and therefore cars, which have a lot of things in common with tanks, like engines and forward gear and stuff like that, they are not consumer products. You know, that form of aggregation doesn't seem very helpful. One needs to figure out what this product is, and that's why we call cars and the Abrams M1 tank different products.
But automobiles is the product as opposed to vehicles. And
well,
so they're
so,
talking about
so
all...
Said,
I would say vehicles could include boats and perhaps could be...
That's very convenient for you, but I assume in some other case somebody would be telling us that automobiles and over-the-road trucks are the same, and since over-the-road trucks are not consumer products and so on.
Well, I think we're getting far afield also on a couple of procedural points. One thing is the plaintiff waived any opportunity to argue that these particular pieces of avionics equipment were consumer products. That's not how the complaint was alleged. The district court did dismiss the complaint initially without prejudice. The plaintiff filed an amended complaint where he abandoned any opportunity to plead that these particular avionics equipment were consumer products because he accepted the district court's ruling on the Magnuson-Moss Act and he filed only state commercial code claims. And so I would say that there's a simple procedural answer as to why affirmance is proper and no remand is necessary, and that's because he waived or abandoned this argument. I don't agree that he was never given...
How can you abandon an argument before the dismissal of the aircraft manufacturer? What brings this to the fore is precisely the bankruptcy of the airframes manufacturer and its dismissal this year.
But even when Mooney was a viable defendant, that did not alter the fact that Sandell and Honeywell had warranted only their particular pieces of equipment, and their warranties were limited to the scope of that product. And so I would respectfully disagree that the bankruptcy of Mooney was the dispositive issue as to whether he should have pled that and asked for, or asked for an opportunity to argue that even if the aircraft was not, that the avionics were consumer products.
Ms. Campbell, you ask us to rely on this FTC 76 policy statement, you know, with regard to airplanes, going back to the airplanes as opposed to just the avionics. You know, would that be like, and I'm suggesting a possible analogy, like saying if the FTC said that computers in 1976 were not consumer products, and we were faced with a component of a computer today, you know, just to change the whole of the matter. By that I mean a plane. Wouldn't we have to have some concern whether a computer was a personal a consumer product today, under as opposed to a 1976 view of a policy statement on small airplanes?
Well, I understand that we have to look at the law in context, but I would say that there has been no, at least nothing in this record to indicate that in the 30 years that have passed, the FTC has ever changed its position on this. And the other thing is that the concept that this category of product is a sophisticated type of product that the average consumer, who Congress was worried about being confused by a label that had gold filigree and that would mislead someone buying a toaster oven, that's not the type of issues that we need to worry about, regardless of how society may have changed in the last 30 years. That is not going to change. And so I think that the thinking behind the exclusion has not changed in those three decades.
Thank you, Ms. Gamble.
Thank you.
Jones?
I'm not quite sure about the point about sophistication. Computers are very sophisticated. I wasn't sure exactly what counsel was stating, but computers are sophisticated. They're still consumer products. It doesn't really matter. The cost, the sophistication, those are not what is considered under the Magnuson-Morris Act. The question is normally how it is used in a class of products. That's the test. This case is procedurally strange because of the bankruptcy, dismissal of the bankruptcy, and how the briefs were written. We don't think we waived any argument as to the warranties of Sandell. We were suing on a Magnuson-Morris claim for breach of warranties. We had no opportunity to present anything in the court below.
Well, you didn't in the district court, but we do come back to the fact that even after the airframes manufacturer was dismissed, your opening brief ignores the avionics, argues exclusively that the airframe is a consumer product, and after you're challenged on that, your reply brief also ignores the subject. Now, why hasn't that been forfeited?
Well, in the initial brief, we're obligated to the four corners of what was decided below.
No, you're not.
We cannot raise new issues on appeal. What the order was in 2001 when this case was heard was whether dismissal of the airplane is a matter of law. It did not. We had to address that issue. We cannot raise new issues. We cannot say we're going to file a new amended complaint on appeal.
Well, thank you. Your time has expired.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Thanks to all counsel. Case is taken under advisement.